In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's focus on one phrase that bonds the Gospel and the lesson from Genesis together. After Joseph began to share dreams with his brothers, says Genesis 37, "Therefore, the matter of his dreams and words ministered nourishment to their envy and hatred." These are vices that we have to curb within our own souls. The church is inviting you and I to consider with the chief priests, the prophets, with the chief priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, and with those of the Old Testament, the patriarchs, what leads one to murder? The chief vice which leads to murder is not immediately answerable. It's envy. Envy is one of the greatest vices that we must struggle against within our lives. Envy is something which is the core of the destruction of souls. St. Thomas Aquinas speaks about envy. He writes about it in his treatise on the virtue of holy charity, because it is contrary to charity. He describes envy as typically as the sorrow that one experiences when another person receives a gift. Envy is the sorrow that we have when somebody else receives a blessing. This is a succinct definition, but it's a powerful description of envy and a feeling that many of us have probably experienced at various moments within our lives when somebody else receives a blessing. We conceive within our souls a sorrow that they're the ones who get the blessing. When we hear the good news of others, the promotions they may get, a colleague that we have, or when we maybe hear about a friend's engagement, maybe when we catch word of a sibling that rushes up to us and shares with us they've got a success, a promotion that's coming. Envy leads to sorrow, to frustration, or anger at this news. It is this vice of envy that causes us to be unhappy when someone else is experiencing some form of joy. Envy causes us to do great evil in the sight of good, because it's not in good that we feel we can share in. There's a man by the name of Frederick Birchner who says this about envy. He says, "Envy is wanting everyone else to be as unsuccessful as you and I are." That's what envy is. Wanting everybody else to be as unhappy as you and I are with our own selves. Envy wants everybody's destruction because we feel ourselves destroyed. St. Augustine called envy this. He says envy is begrudging God's gifts that he generously gives to others, and that maybe we don't see within ourselves. The roots of the envy are comparative self-worth. What is comparative self-worth? It means that when I look at everybody else, what I normally notice most, I notice with a critical eye when they have faults, but when I notice my faults are so great, I also know their successes. And I say, why is it that they get that and I don't have it? Why is it that they're blessed in this way and I'm not? Or we look at our situation and say, well, why am I struggling in this way? And this person isn't. They seem to have mastered this thing. And so it causes an envy in us to hate this particular master. It's something where we take the goods, the blessings that another person receives, and we make it a personal slight that we don't share in them in the same way. What it requires for us to be able to recover from such a thing is to have a paradigm shift within our lives. Robert C. Roberts has this to say. It's an extended quotation. Follow me through it. He says, the soul's self-understanding is that she is precious before God. However much a sinner that she may be, the soul, however much a failure or success she must be by the standards of worldly comparison, and that every other person she meets has the same status. The vision is not only that one levels every distinction by which egos may seek glory. This vision, when appropriated, is also the ultimate ground of self-confidence. For the message is that God loves me for who I am myself. Not for anything I have achieved, not for my beauty or for my intelligence or for my righteousness or from any other qualification. But God loves me simply the way that a good father loves his son, the way that a good mother loves a child for past 9 months within her womb. Robert C. Roberts continues to say, if I can get into my own head, or better, if I can get more deeply into my heart, then I won't be grasping desperately for self-esteem at the expense of others, and cut myself off from my proper destiny, which is to have a spiritual fellowship with those others. Envy is something that we have to counteract within our lives, because as we see here within the gospel, within the gospel as well, but first here within the book of Genesis, that envy nourished within one's heart leads one to hatred. And hatred nourished in one's heart that is already fed off of envy, that sorrow that we have because somebody else is receiving blessings that we don't see within our time, it always leads to murder. It always leads to the destruction of the other. It is for this reason that Joseph's brothers tried to destroy him so that they wouldn't have to deal with him being the favored son, one who was even favored with great dreams. In the same way, it was out of envy that the chief priests, the scribes, and all the Jews of long ago persecuted prophet after prophet, each one that God sent more and more over because they had a special relationship with God. They wanted themselves to be able to be content in having the relationship that they had with God without having to do with what the prophets said that God said. It's for this reason that they sought to hand him over to the Romans that they might win his life, no longer be pestered by his words, and everything restored to an order where they would again be at the top. Envy that we have, the sorrow that we have that somebody else receives a blessing of good, eventually it leads us to murder them. We murder them by speaking against them. We murder them by trying to destroy the friendships that they have. We murder them by somehow trying to bring them back down to our level, as we begin with that quotation from Friedrich Virchow. Envy is wanting everyone else to be as unsuccessful as we are, to be as unloved as we feel that we self are, to be as unhappy as we find ourselves to be. The Lord calls us out of this, to have a true sense of feeling for and restore to the way in which I myself, over the course of my life, very quickly in the seminary, praise God, by grace, was able to break free of this terrible vice of envy, which can easily arise as seminarians or brothers compete with one another. When you're in the seminary, you recognize that there's nothing really special about yourself. Isn't that right? There's all these other guys that happen to have been called by God. You're just the one who's among them. And as you spend more time with each other, you begin to realize that, wow, he has an excellence that I don't have. He has a gift here that I lack. He has a skill, an experience, a charm with others, an amiability that I don't have. Does that make me lesser? Does that make me want to push him aside? Does that make me want to better him in something else? And so an envious sorrow that I don't have that thing can easily creep into the soul of another seminarian. It's all made all the more clear when you happen to be those who are sent to those great seminaries. But the Lord spoke a word to me when I was in prayer that helped me along to keep me from having such thoughts for the glory of his name. He reminded this, the simple truth that you can use when you notice those envies, those sorrows that another person's good springing up within your own mind. It's this, that the good that you see another have, that you see yourself not having, which causes you sorrow, realize this, that very thing that you desire in the other person is actually already in your possession. It's something that you have, something that you hold, something that you yourself can use and touch. It's not distant from you. It's something that you can already make use of. But how is that? It's present to you, that virtue, that grace, that thing that you think you don't have. It is actually present to you because you possess it in your brother. You possess it already in your sister. You possess it already in that person who's just a few pews off from you, from the one who's chanting the office on the other side of the stall, and the one who's offering the mass as you are sitting back within the confessional, or whatever your state of life may be in your brother. You already have that thing. There's no reason for sorrow. And the way that you can actualize, make use of, bring that quality to bear within your own life is by spending time with that person and making use of the grace that has already been given to them. You see, the way we're able to do this is through the great virtue of charity. What does charity do? Charity, as the scripture says, as Colossians says, Colossians 3, by the way, charity is the bond of perfection. Charity is the bond of perfection. It is charity that unites souls. Charity is what brings them together. Charity is the relation which prevents the distinction being made between you and me, between me and you. Brother and brother come together through the virtue of charity. In a greater way, charity is that which bonds the human soul, the very essence of who God is. That's why charity and prayer run hand in hand. And it's through charity that we are able to eliminate those distinctions between the things which I possess in myself and the things which I possess in my brother. And it's through God's great mystery of aligning the world that he allows us to not have all the virtues within our own selves, that we might be reliant on our brothers and our sisters and make use of our brothers and sisters. The gospel today is calling us specifically to kill one vice. That is that of envy, which nourishes all the more hatred and brings about the murdering of our brother. And it is killed, the death knell done in it, by the great virtue of charity, which allows us to see that the sorrow that I have at another person's good is totally out of line because I share in that good. I share in it close. I share in a way that I can make use of, touch, and have close to me. The only thing I have to do is, through the bond of charity, ask my brother for it. Humble myself and to go to him and see that he possesses a virtue so that he might share with me. And I possess virtues, too, that maybe are blind to me but are very evident to my brother, that he is able to possess as well when he humbles himself and asks it of me. Ask our Lord then for a renewal of this grace of charity as we enter into these sacred mysteries, so that knowing how dearly it is that we are beloved by God and the fellowship of the saints that he gives us, that we are able to have those gifts that God gives us others within our own self, and not giving it a sorrow that so easily comes through envy. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.